no business degree, no money. I was a new mom and, you know, opened up with my co-founder, a 5,000 square foot play space. And we raised the money ourselves by just being super passionate about our idea and our vision. And so, you know, even landing, like, our third partner is a writer for Inc. magazine and wrote a few books on entrepreneurship, Norm Brodsky. And the fact that he believed in us. And, you know, I just remember the day when we're cutting the ribbon, it had been 2 years that we were working on this business, like sacrifice, sweat and tears, and just cutting that ribbon and saying like, wow, like we did it. And then we went on to win Best Play Space in New York. And eventually we sold it to the Children's Museum of Manhattan.
Hello and welcome to the Small Business School. My name is Craig Staley, 20-year retail veteran, e-commerce practitioner, and entrepreneur. Each week, I will interview a new small business owner that we can learn from to take our businesses to the next level. Now, let's go. Ever wonder what the best way to enhance your public relations in your community is? Or what social media platforms your businesses should be active on? Do you really have time for all of them? Carrie Ballag, the chief executive brand groupie of the public relations firm Brand Groupies, answers these questions and more in today's episode. So, without further ado, Carrie Ballag. All right. I'd like to welcome my next guest. It's Carrie Ballag. She is the chief executive groupie for Brand Groupies. How are you, Carrie?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me, Craig.
Well, thanks for joining us. Can you just give the listeners a little bit of your background to start off?
Sure thing. So, you know, it's funny, the road that I took that led me to have a company called Brand Groupies. But I started off studying journalism with a major in public relations at the University of Maryland. And I just was always a networker, connector. I didn't know really what I wanted to do. Ended up in PR, moved right to Manhattan at 22 and joined a beauty and fashion PR firm. I was doing PR for brands like the Wonder Bra and CoverGirl, and it was really exciting at the time. And then I moved on, always staying in fashion lifestyle, you know, industry with brands. I ended up in the watch industry. So I ended up in doing, you know, PR. I was the PR director for Gucci watches and Hublot watches. And then, you know, stayed in fashion. I also lived in Italy and then ended up, you know, starting my own business, a children's rock and roll themed play space in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. And that was, you know, kind of my check off the box of having my own business and applying my PR skills. Fast forward, I had two kids, moved back to New Jersey where I grew up to be closer to family, and started Brand Groupies to consult with businesses of all sizes.
So I was kind of poking around in your social media accounts. I saw that you're in a band. I assume that that's kind of part of the reason where the impetus behind the kids play area.
Yeah. I guess I've always been a music groupie. I was never a musician. My dad played guitar. My husband was a musician. He was a roadie for 17 years. But I got serious when we had our kids in music lessons, and a bunch of the moms were hanging out waiting for the lessons to be over. And it was a joke, like, oh, we should start a mom band. And I dabbled. I played guitar, you know, living in the city. I took lessons, but never seriously. So we formed a mom band, and it got pretty serious because we just fell in love with it. It was just a great outlet for mom, something to look forward to once a week. And we actually released our first original single in May called Milk, Moms in Leather Forever.
So, congratulations.
Thank you. So, you know, it's something that you think you missed the boat. Like, oh gosh, that was, you know, something I missed, and I picked it back up, you know, after having kids, and we see a whole future ahead of us touring with the mom band. That's our fun outlet.
Unfortunately, you'll have to wait a few months maybe before you start that tour.
We're just doing local gigs right now, but we laugh. We're going to be like, you know, taking a bus down to Florida one day.
That's great. So tell us a little bit more about your current business, Brand Groupies. What services do you offer? What kind of businesses do you serve?
Right now, we are a full service social media and public relations agency. And we focus right now on corporate brands, B2B service brands. So, you know, some of our clients include an architecture firm, design firm, HVAC, you know, company, a lot of big commercial companies that service New Jersey and New York.
Very nice. So there's so many different social media platforms, you know, and small business owners, their time is limited, as you well know. Where should the small business owners be spending their time when it comes to social media? Do they pick and choose, or do they have to do everything?
All right. Well, as much as I want to say do everything, you only have so many hours in the day, and social media is a full-time job. So number one is figure out where your target market is. So who are your customers? Where are they, you know, living? You know, when I had my kids play space, it was moms who were on Facebook, you know, and now I do B2B service brands. So I live on LinkedIn. So, you know, really depends on your target audience. And I do handle everything from TikTok to Facebook and, you know, YouTube, but we really make sure that we focus the majority of our time on the channels that will really get in front of the eyes of our target consumers and decision makers.
That makes sense. I mean, if you're after CFOs of major corporations, maybe they're on Instagram, but that's probably not the place to start targeting them.
Exactly.
And also, you're after LinkedIn.
Yes, totally. And just on a side note, we also, you know, we love Instagram. I feel most comfortable on Instagram because it's fun. But on a side note, to reach talent, you know, the new talent out of school looking for a job in these, you know, big corporations, they're on Instagram. So they actually will go to our Instagram, and we have to be, you know, killer on Instagram, because they're going to want to, you know, this great pool of talent, they're going to really pick who they want to, you know, work for, depending on how they are on, you know, how their brand is represented on Instagram.
On Instagram. That makes sense.
You know, that's another audience that we have to keep in mind too.
Sure. So, you know, you mentioned TikTok, and, you know, there's this talk about a possible TikTok ban, and maybe it gets sold. I mean, is that something you think will go through? Where do you think that will end up?
I know it's so uncertain, and, you know, I would love to say, oh, it's going to be, you know, around forever. But what I do, you know, I see it getting through, and I don't see it going away. It's just too good of a platform. It's reached too many people. And, you know, right now I think, you know, we're spending a little bit of time on it with some of, you know, our clients, kind of getting our feet wet and, you know, kind of keeping a pulse on it, because we don't want to, you know, miss the boat. And I want to give it a chance. Everything's a risk. So if you can get in early when there's great organic reach, you know, really, you know, why not? But I see someone taking it over. I don't know. It's just, it's too big and global. And, you know, I see huge potential with it.
Yeah, it seems like someone else. I mean, obviously you have Microsoft and different big companies in the game, and there's a lot of eyes on TikTok. I think you're right. I think someone will pick it up, or maybe all the talk will die down after November.
But I have two kids. I have a 10-year-old and 11-year-old, and you know, doing the TikTok moves everywhere they go, like walking and TikToking. So it's really, it's ingrained in a lot of people. So I don't know how fast, you know, they'll be able to stop it.
So. Yeah. So, I mean, you talked about, you know, your kids, 10 and 11, you know, it seemed like a year ago or less than a year ago, even, it was 10-year-olds, 16-year-olds dancing around on TikTok. But if you go there now, it's starting, you're seeing an older crowd on there.
Yes.
You know, do you think there's certain brands that need to have a presence on TikTok to capture maybe that audience of buyers?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think some of the more obvious ones, like the beverage companies and, you know, some of the mass products, for sure. I feel like, you know, to keep up. And of course, it's kind of like a throw everything at the wall. You don't know what's going to stick, what's going to go viral. But I think you need to, you know, get in the game. And like I said, the reach is insane. So, you know, right now on Instagram, it's so hard to get new followers. Like I'm like, oh, I wish I really buckled down 5 years ago and, sure. and did more work then, because now it's so much harder. So I think, like, I think, of course, the, you know, consumer products, you know, will be great on there, because especially if they reach a range of ages. For us, for example, you know, you think, oh, a B2B service brand, like, why mm-hmm. would they need to be on TikTok? But we are testing it out with our architecture firm. Number one, because they're so cool and they're technology first. So if they're tech first in their industry, they need to be tech first, all, you know, 360 degrees tech first. So, you know, trendsetters on social as well. And their company culture is a huge identity thing for them. So we launched a TikTok channel for them, you know, to really for PR, to say, hey, this architecture firm, we have a TikTok channel, and I repurpose it on Instagram, like, follow us on TikTok. Am I spending hours a day on it? No, but we're going to keep it going. And we're there. Like, if we need to, you know, amp it up, we can, but we're in the game. And like I said, we're going to just see how it goes, but I like the PR of it, mm-hmm. like being an architecture firm on TikTok, because I feel like brands are going to follow eventually.
And if TikTok lives 5 years, you know, it's going to age out just like Facebook did or Instagram did. I mean, if you look at Facebook when it first started out, it was college kids, and you wouldn't have caught a 50-year-old on there, you know, but eventually, you know, slowly the older demographic moves there. And, you know, to your point, if you can get a following while organic reach is still possible, you know, you're kind of set.
Yeah, you're right. Yep. I remember feeling too old for Facebook, and my sister's like, no, you can do it. You should join. Because I was like, yeah, we're all college kids.
Well, now when you first joined Facebook early days, you had to put your college name in there. And, yeah, you know, it was like really targeted at college kids. So
Totally. That's a great point.
You know, we have a lot of listeners that own a small business, serve a local community. Other than, you know, interacting on social media, which we kind of talked about, what advice would you give other business owners to enhance their public relations within the community?
Mm-hmm. Something I'm so passionate about, and I could talk forever on this, but number one, it's, you know, if you're a small business in a community, number one is word of mouth. So yes, you need your social media platforms, but it's really that emotion, you know, that people feel when they come in contact with you, not only on social media, but, you know, whether it's through a community partnership or local event, hopefully we'll have those, you know, again. But really, you know, word of mouth, I say to people, you know, who want to put advertising money into promoting a small business, I'm like, that's fine. But like, it depends on your product or service. But, you know, I say to them, does everyone at your, you know, gym know about your business? Does everyone at your kid's school know about your business, at your church? Everyone in your community, your neighbors, you know, like, they need to know everything about you before you can like reach out to Sally two towns away, you know, depending on what your, you know, your business is. And I always feel like, if, you know, newsletters are still awesome to really curate that, you know, small, you know, that market. But I, you know, I'm a big proponent of, you know, over the top customer service. So really going above and beyond for your current customers. And of course you want to find new ones, but it's really going all in. Like, even if you have like 10 ambassadors who are like obsessed with your brand, they're going to talk to their friends and they're going to do your marketing, you know, for you. So, you know, if Sally two towns over hears about your business through her friend, you know, she's going to get more excited about it than seeing an ad, you know, just randomly in a paper, which will take a lot of touch points to continue to, you know, get that brand, you know, in front of her. But again, I love local partnerships, like doing, you know, cross promotions with other brands in your, you know, in your community that might have a similar target audience. And then you can, you know, get in front of their audience by, you know, cross promotions on social media and different cool things. But I do think that, you know, your employees need to brag about you, you know, your close family and friends. And then, you know, don't forget about your first customers, and like make them just so obsessed with you that they're just going to post about you, brag, talk. And don't forget about those first customers once you got them, because you have to continue to nourish the relationships.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think I've heard it kind of likened to farming versus hunting. You know, you continue to grow that relationship with those clients and continue to make sure you check in with them. And, you know, you'd rather be farming than always hunting for the next client.
Yeah, that's a great way to.
That makes a lot of sense. So let me change gears here a little bit. What tools have you personally found helpful in your business? Is there anything that you've been using that maybe other business owners might use as well?
Well, we've gone through a few different tools, you know, apps. There's Hootsuite and some other social media software, but we really have been using Canva like crazy right now. So, you know, for stories and for audiograms and things like that. And what I love about is we can really put the brand's Pantone colors in, and you have these templates, and it's just really awesome to be able to use those as an extension of your brand. And it's really easy and fun to use, and it looks great.
Yeah, I would agree that I use Canva myself, and the learning curve is so much, it's so much simpler than Photoshop or other programs that I've tried in the past.
Totally.
What has been the biggest challenge that you faced in business, whether it's at Brand Groupies or Frolic, your first business? You know, what's been your biggest challenge and how did you overcome it?
Okay. Can I answer that with two points? I think at Brand Groupies, you know, my biggest challenge was scaling the business. I think, you know, when I first started, it happened by chance because I was just consulting with friends who just said, oh, you need to talk to Carrie about, you know, starting a new business. And I really was just helping everyone. And I said yes to everyone.
Yeah.
And I really, you know, didn't figure out my business model. I did mastermind groups and brand strategy sessions and consulting. And I kept saying, I'm not going to have an agency. And at the end of the day, it's like, that's my whole career was at, you know, PR and marketing agencies. And that's what I do. And it comes really natural to me, and I'm passionate about it. So I think scaling and coming up with a business model, and also I had to figure out who my target customer was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course I love helping the small businesses, but it wasn't enabling me to grow and hire team, the model that I had. So I really need ongoing revenue, like monthly, you know, retainers, year contracts. I can't, you know, versus like pay me by the hour, or I guess you could say.
Or project work or something like that.
Project work. And so I think that leads to, you know, thinking about your time versus your, you know, your profit. And with Frolic, the big challenge I think was we had too many services. And so it really learned to really narrow down, you know, pick your top 2 to 3 revenue streams and go all in. Like we were focusing on not only memberships, classes, and birthday parties, but then we would really kind of do whatever people wanted, you know, and really didn't stay true to what we believed we needed to do for a business. You know, we were like, oh, you want after school pickup? Yeah, we'll do that. Or we'll do a hair salon and camp. And, you know, we started a preschool because people needed that. And so to get all of these services started, we were, you know, you can't just launch them. It takes time, money, investment. And, you know, I think, you know, we took our eye off the main revenue streams. Our memberships were started at $1,000 a year, you know, and that's where I should have had all my time and energy. But I was, you know, worried about the cafe and coffee and, you know, all the different revenue streams. And, you know, I think I learned that, you know, you really got to narrow it down, and you could try things out, but that was a big challenge of kind of figuring out. So that seems like a common theme with me now and back then, you know, because I really like to do it all, but really what makes the most sense in it.
Hone in on what's really working. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
So on a positive note, what's been the best moment in your business history so far?
It's the same as my most challenging moment. My challenging period was opening up Frolic, the kids rock and roll play space. You know, no business degree, no money. I was a new mom and, you know, opened up with my co-founder, a 5,000 square foot, you know, play space. And, you know, we raised the money ourselves by just being super passionate about our idea and our vision. And so, you know, even landing like our third partner is a writer for Inc. magazine and wrote a few books on entrepreneurship, Norm Brodsky. And the fact that he believed in us. And, you know, I just remember the day when we're cutting the ribbon, it had been 2 years that we were working on this business, like sacrifice, sweat and tears, and just cutting that ribbon and saying like, wow, like we did it, you know? And then we went on to win Best Place Based in New York, and eventually we sold it to the Children's Museum of Manhattan. So it was a great, challenging, but yet, you know, really rewarding experience to actually look back and think, wow, like how the heck did I do that?
That had to be really rewarding to spend 2 years with no real business yet, nothing, it's an idea and you're working towards it. And that day that you opened, I'm sure was a really special day.
It was very emotional, but something I'm, you know, really will be proud of to this day.
Who do you consider your mentor, and what's the most important lesson they've taught you?
I've had a few mentors, but you know, the one that really sticks out is my boss from the early 2000s. I spent time at the Promotion Factory, and that was a PR and marketing firm in Manhattan. And the president is Venancio Ciampa, who actually is a distant cousin from Italy, and we met in New York. So it's like this crazy story. But he, you know, he brought me on and he taught me, you know, trust, because he really trusted me. And in the past, I had worked for a lot of, you know, fashion agencies where you always had a pit in your stomach, like so stressful, very cutthroat, you know, it was just really intimidating and intense. And so, you know, when I started with him, he trusted me like 200%. Always had my back. If I messed up, you know, he would just say, oh, yep, no big deal. Let's just move on, learning experience, you know, and he never micromanaged. Like he empowered me to, you know, to really make decisions. And that made me want to work 200, you know, and give 200%. And so I really, to this day, I'll never forget how happy I was in my job and how I, you know, grew as a person and in my skill, you know, set. So I really try to think of that when I hire people and give them the freedom and empower them to be the best, you know, versions of themselves, not micromanage. It might not be exactly the way I would do it.
Sure.
But
that's always tough.
You know, it's really trust. I'm all about trust. Like I will trust you until you let me down. And then I, you know, but I trust. I just, you know, I want to give people the opportunity.
Sure. That's great. That's great advice. If you could hop into a time machine and go back to the day that you launched Brand Groupies, what advice would you give yourself on that day?
To say no more. Mm-hmm. I said yes to everything. I mean, I have to say it was great because I was figuring it out. I was saying yes to everyone and anyone, and I was so nervous to say no.
Yeah.
And that was something I wish I learned, and I really weighed my, you know, the value of my time and just really realized that my time, my self-worth and my time is valuable. And, you know, I would say no to more things. And mm-hmm. so that I could focus on what was going to help me grow the company and not be distracted by everything and be reactive to things that were coming my way. And then I think I could have grown the business bigger, you know, gone bigger earlier, but sure. Everything happens for a reason and I'm learning every day. So who knows?
That's great. Those learning lessons are important.
Yes.
So where can we find out more about Brand Groupies online?
So Brand Groupies is at Brand Groupies, B-R-A-N-D Groupies, on Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, and brandgroupies.com is our website.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining me today. I really enjoyed all your insights.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Craig. It was a pleasure. I really appreciate it.
It was interesting for me to hear Carrie talk about how she scaled her business. She started out doing hourly and project work and eventually came to the realization that if she's going to scale, she needed to reframe how she structured her client interactions. She needed to sign clients to year-long deals and work on retainers, which would allow her to hire staff and grow the business. That really resonates with me and where I'm at with my website design company. I've come to the same realization, and I'm currently in the process of rethinking my product offerings and the clients that I target. Sometimes even though you feel like you're on the right path, it's nice to have that validation from someone else. So thanks, Gary. If you're a small business owner or looking to start a business, join the Small Business School Facebook group. It's a private community of people focused on helping each other grow their businesses. Join the community and let's help each other take our businesses to the next level. We'll see you there. If you'd like to learn more about our guest today or be a future guest on the Small Business School, go to craigsdaily.com/podcast for more info. And of course, it would mean the world to me if you'd click subscribe or write a review for the Small Business School in your podcast app of choice. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.